Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and welcome to the Wednesday show. How's everyone today? Having a great day? Is everything feeling better about life? So that's why I wanted to get into the show about thoughts on peace, love, and fear. Now we'll delve into that a little. Kind of got a side swipe from Spirit about this whole topic, so I thought I'd get into that a little bit. Wanted to discuss, a lot of going on in the world today in the United States, and a lot of violence, gun violence. And, you know, I'm waffling back and forth about that whole subject. Now, I will leave this open to you if you want to call in, if you want a message from your ancestors about this particular topic or what's going on in your life, or want to hear from my spirit guides. Now, I like to channel messages. So, you know, not the typical psychic cards and stuff. I used to do that a lot more, but now it's more about, okay, I go under a little bit, go into a light trance and let them talk to you. So that's the kind of sessions I like to do with people. So if my spirit guides are willing to do that, we can do that. Now, they want to talk to you a little bit about this topic that I brought up for the day. But I want to get into a little bit of why I got into this topic or these thoughts about peace, love, and fear. So thinking about this gun situation, you know, and then that's being bantered around big time all over the place. Okay, should we outlaw guns? What guns should we outlaw? Should we outlaw, you know, automatic, semi-automatic weapons? You know, the ability to change from semi-automatic to automatic weapons, all this sort of thing. What should we do about guns? Or anything. And the more you, and I try not to listen too much about to it, but the more you get it, the more you read it, the more you listen to it, they're not going to do anything. They're absolutely not going to do anything about it. Guns will still be a part of society. People will own guns. People will have, you know, their arsenals of guns or their individual gun. And everybody will, you know, whoever wants a gun will have a gun. One way or the other. Guns will be, you know, will be part of our society in the United States for the foreseeable future. So you're not going to get rid of guns. Now you might put certain limits on guns and better background checks and, you know, curtail the ownership of guns by mentally, you know, people have mental issues. Okay. I don't know if you want schizophrenics having guns. I don't know about that one. But the point is, why do people buy guns? Now, I come from a perspective when I was younger, much younger. I lived on a farm. We had a shotgun. It was around all the time. And I don't think it was ever loaded that I know of, but it was a double barrel shotgun. And you had the little, you know, things that you put in, pellets, the cartridges, I guess is the best word for it. And my brother, you know, would grab it. There was a pheasant running around loose and try to, but, you know, so we had shotguns. So that was not a big deal. I was around guns at an early age. And I got older, I had friends who had guns, and actually we'd go to the range and shoot. And I held guns, like 44 Magnum, you know, blah, blah, blah. Rifles, they were commonplace. I don't think I ever had a BB gun, but that was pretty commonplace. And I even wanted a BB gun, you know, for target practice. So that was one of the things. I want a gun for target practice, just for, as a kid, shoot things, target practice, hit bottles, hit cans, blah, blah, blah. So I've been around guns. I'm not afraid of guns, and I've used guns, you know, as in target practice and so forth and so on. And that's an obvious way of, and if you live on a farm, if you live out in the middle of nowhere, you have predators. You have certain animals that try to eat your livestock or may bring danger to you, you know, snakes and bears and all kinds of things. Obvious, and that's not the only way to get rid of these animals, but people feel safer for having guns. So we come back down to this whole idea of the word fear. People own guns based on fear. Now, if you live in a city, it'd be fear of being broken into, fear of somebody jeopardizing your life and your property and your family. But that's, the statistics show, that's the main reason why people own a gun, is as self-preservation, defense, defending yourself, the ability to defend yourself against intruders and people that you feel are harmful to your life. So it's fear. So is that the way to overcome fear? Does that make you feel safe owning a gun? Or does that create more fear in your life? No, somebody's going to break in. They're going to steal my gun. They're going to shoot me with my gun. And, okay, well, we won't get into all the technical aspects of that. You know, what can happen if you have a gun and all the possibilities. There aren't necessarily the most positive outcomes that you would ever want from owning a gun, right? So, but it's based on fear. So it's overcoming fear. So how do we overcome fear? That's the big question. Why do we have fear and how do we overcome it? And is there a spiritual way to replace the need for firearms or even a baseball bat or even a crossbow or even a sword with another way to feel safe and to have a lack of fear? Is there? And that's what I wanted my spirit guides to talk to you about. Is there a way of, and I have some articles about self-love, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between compassion and kindness, because those two words get confusing. And in my writing, I'm going to be writing about, in my book, kindness. But I also have to include part of it is about compassion, because similar words but different, if that makes sense. Similar words but different. And so I thought I would talk about that. And let my spirit guides talk to you. If anybody wants to call in and talk to their ancestors, that is very good. We can do that. But I wanted to get into that, this whole thing about fear and how to overcome fear. So let me give you a definition from the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, on compassion and kindness. And we'll kind of go from there if I can find the word. I had it, and it just went away, right? Okay, compassion. And then we'll get into a little bit more, and I'm going to let my spirit guides talk to you about this whole subject. And then if you wanted to call in, if you want to hear from one of your ancestors, you know, Tom Petty, the musician, and I have a tendency to connect with dead people, especially musicians and artists and so forth. And I was going to try to Tom Petty in the near future, probably on Friday. I won't be here tomorrow, but for some reason, Friday feels like the day that I will be able to. Compassion. Okay, let me give you the word compassion. The feeling of pity that one will have or show mercy. Now, that's one definition. Now, there's a whole many different definitions of compassion. Compassion versus kindness, and from another really interesting definition of compassion, is the ability. Well, let me read it to you. And then kindness. So it's not pity. Compassion is not pity. I mean, I look at the dictionary and go, no, that's not it. It's not about pity. It's an action. It's doing something. Kindness is not really necessarily an action. But let's see. There's so many conflicting points of view on this, but I thought I'd give you a little bit of a different outlook. Kindness. Okay, let's look up the word kindness real quick. Let me give you a definition of kindness from the dictionary. If I can find it. It's not in here. Okay. Kindness seems to have disappeared from my dictionary. Okay. And so we're going to go with the books, the dictionary that I've looked up. Okay, let me go back. Kind or kindness. Okay, let's look up kindness real quick. I know I'm wasting a little bit of my time here, and time is precious, but I wanted to share a little bit about this idea. To be kind is to something that belongs to a kind. Okay, let me use that dictionary. It's not working. Okay, kindness versus compassion, and I'll get back to you if anybody wants to talk to one of their ancestors. Kindness and compassion are related to human values. Both these human values are very important in our society. What is compassion? Is the feeling for someone suffering and wishing a speedy recovery for that person. Compassion is the ability to feel for someone to have the same feeling as they as someone else. If you see somebody downtrodden, you can empathize with them. You can feel what they're going through, but it takes it one step further. Okay? So what is kindness? Kindness is an act when trying to help others in need of help. But you don't necessarily have to be in the same vibrational place. You don't have to have that same quiet energy. In kindness, a person may feel sorry for someone but not reflect the suffering person's feelings. You don't have those feelings that they have. You're an act of kindness. You can open for a door for somebody, do a kind act for somebody. But it isn't necessarily because you're connected with their emotions and their feelings and how they sense or how they feel, right? A person having kindness when seeing a homeless person begging on the street for food or money will provide that person with food or money and then continue on. So it's an act of doing something for somebody, right? On the other hand, a person with compassion will stop by the person, talk to him or her, and understand his problems. So compassion takes it a little bit further. Compassion is the trying to understand the motives and the feelings and the emotions of the individual versus more of a, you would say almost that kindness is more, can be more clinical in the sense of, okay, I'm going to do something for you. I see that you're in need of help. In need of something, I'm going to do something for you. But you, sometimes just you can extend kindness just because that's who you are. You're a kind person. You do little things for people, whether they need it or not. You open a door for somebody out of kindness, and they may not even need you to open the door, but you do that for them. You may let them go ahead of you. That's out of kindness. But sometimes compassion and kindness can be very much similar in the sense of, say you're in the market and you're standing in line and you have a mother that's in front of, behind you with a couple children and know the children are getting anxious and she only has a few things. Compassion would be, oh, I understand what she's going through. I can really feel what she's going through. I've had children. I know that feeling. Compassion would say, okay, why don't you go ahead of me? Why don't you go ahead of me in line? Kindness would be, okay, I understand you're having a problem. You need to get through the line. You only have a couple of things. Kindness would say, okay, go ahead. Without really getting deep into the emotion of what is going on with that person, not totally sympathetic or understanding. Sympathetic is on that same vibration, same relationship with that person. Sympathy is not necessarily doing something, but it's understanding what a person's at, what they're doing. Okay. So enough for English language and the definition of words, but so it's very important to understand and have compassion for yourself, to really tap into your own feelings. How do I feel? I know I need to do something. How do I feel? Being kind to yourself would be doing little acts of kindness for yourself, you know, taking yourself to the movies, buying yourself something nice. Compassion would really be delving into your emotions on a topic and why you need to do something for yourself. So compassion is a deeper feeling, a deeper emotion. I don't know why I'm getting into all this. No, who knows why I'm talking about this? But I think it's really important in my writing and explaining and helping people that I want to show compassion and kindness to you. And that's why I do the show. It's out of both things. I see people need help. I see people want to make their lives easier. And that's what my job is about, is to help you make your life easier. Okay, so that's why I ask you to call in, because maybe the information I can give you out of compassion and kindness will help you to have your life be a little easier to get through the day. You know, Spirit wants to give you information about your life. Okay? They want to give you information on what you have already put into place with the universe, you know, what you've already set in motion to create for your life. Now, sometimes it's not always positive. Sometimes you set in motion things that aren't always positive, but you need to know that you've already set these in place, that the universe is arranging it for you. Then the how part is, how do you get there? How do you make it happen? So I'm a big law of attraction person. So what spirit's going to try to help you to see is, oh, yes, you have whatever it is that you want, and it's coming to you. Then, but the second part of that always is what you need to do to make it happen, to speed up the process, to make it quicker. Like a friend of mine. Well, we'll get into friends. We'll leave that one alone. We'll leave that ideal alone. What examples? But let me have my spirit guides talk to you a little bit about this topic. And the topic is peace, love, and fear. So the fear part drives people to do things that in itself may be adverse to peace and love, right? We want a peaceful environment. We don't get it from fear. We don't get peace from fear. We don't get peace from violence. Violence in itself and having violent tendencies will never bring about peace. The more violent you are, you'll never have peace. And if you have things that create violence in your life, you'll never have peace. Okay, let me have my spirit guides talk to you about this whole subject. And basically, I talked about guns and ending violence and gun violence, and it really is an attitude. It's overcoming fear, it replacing fear with peace and love and kindness and compassion. That's really what it's all about. But let me have my spirit guides. I know that's not easy, and in the book I write about that, it's going to take a while. And it has a lot to do with soul development, but we won't talk about that right now. So let me have my spirit guides talk to you about this subject, because I seem to be babbling on and on about the topic. And I have a couple articles I think are related to this whole subject. So let me go away for a moment and let them speak to you. If you know what I mean by channeling, is I go into a light trance. I hear what's going on, but it's not me. And I've been doing this for 25 years, and I really recognize that the voice, the thoughts that are coming through me, the voice that's being activated is not mine. I'm an observer, and I go into trance. And most of the time, I don't remember what was spoken within. I lose it within 10 minutes. Or less. Okay, so let my spirit groups, the Sarah group, speak to you. George is a little wordy today. We understand where he's coming from, and of course we've tried to inspire him to have clear thoughts on the subject and clear definitions of words and how they apply to your lives and how they apply to getting to where you want. George was correct. The ending of violence, especially gun violence, is a long process because your nature has been violent for a long time. And it is based on fear. It's based on survival. You do things because you want to survive. You want your family to survive. You want your community to survive. You want your nation to survive. So you react out of survival, out of fear of whatever it might be, that whatever adversary that you feel will endanger your life or change your lifestyle or change who you are. So you react from that fear. And so you have found ways to protect yourselves and to put up a warning that, no, this is who I am, and I'm not going to let anybody interfere with my life. And I'm going to mitigate that fear with my protective mechanisms, such as a gun or whatever else it is, a fence, a wall. Whatever you put up, whatever you use, it's based on fear. But why do you fear? Why do you fear? Now, there's a lot of reasons why you fear. You've seen it in examples, you've seen movies, you've seen in real life, you've watched news shows after news shows where there's intruders in neighborhoods and there's violent acts and you know, nations are out to, you know, destroy other nations, and you've been inundated with violence, obviously. You're fearful of violence being perpetrated against you, so you have fears, obviously. Part of your nature. It's been with you as long as you've been on the planet Earth. And even all in your early development as humans, you had fear. And fear was a natural part of your being because fear protected you from various things that could have happened to you, even like falling off a cliff. You had fear of falling off the cliff, so you backed away. You learned to fear certain predators early in your development, and that fear became part of your genetic makeup. Those who had fear survived. Those who didn't have fear were eaten by saber-toothed tigers. Simple as that. So those who survived had within them that DNA factor of fear. It was passed on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You've had that makeup of fear. And it protects you in a lot of cases. We're not saying that you shouldn't have fear. You will always have fear. But how do you mitigate that fear when it's unreasonable to have fear? When the fear is something that is not apparent or in the near future or not there for you to face on a day-to-day basis. Now, if you live in certain neighborhoods, of course, you're going to have fear because they're rampant with violent people who do violent things. And walking out your door, there's a certain level of fear that perhaps one of those people will perpetrate fear, perpetrate harm towards you because you have something that they want because of whatever their condition is, whether it be drug use or the lack of having and jealousy and all that sort of thing, and realizing that they can take it by force. So you have fear. But that's not all of you. Actually, it's probably a smaller percentage of you than you can imagine. So how do you deal with that fear, though? The word we keep throwing at George here is trust. Trust. Trust in something greater than yourself. Higher power, God, source, spirit, angels. It's a trust. It's a trust that you will be given a way out of situations. That you have a trust that you have faith in something will be presented to you that will get you out of dangerous situations. Obviously, if you put yourself in dangerous situations on a daily basis, if you drive too fast and without fear, you're putting yourself. And sometimes spirit and will not be able to help you out of those dangerous situations. If you put yourself in a harm's way, spirit is not able to mitigate that situation. And that's the law of attraction, cause and effect. What you do causes the next outcome. Okay? Simple as that. But let's get back to normal day-to-day activities, having trust in a higher power, having trust that there's an answer, there's a solution for your particular situation that doesn't need to use violence. That having that trust, learning to live from a place of peace, learning to live from a place of love. We're trying to incorporate George's words in here. That 99% of the time or more, you won't have to face the dangers. Okay? Trust that your higher power, source, we'll just call it source because we love that word, and that's what it really is, a source, will give you the outs of certain situations, the way out of a certain situations. You will be inspired to avoid certain situations. But it's putting trust in that ability to receive answers and solutions for precarious situations. If you're faced with a precarious situation of violent tendencies in your neighborhood or in your community or in your day-to-day life, that source energy will give you a solution that doesn't necessarily have to come out. Outcome does not have to be violent towards yourself or toward others. So our answer to you is, how do you avoid violence in your life? It's trust. Trust that there are solutions to those problems. Trust that source energy will give you a solution, that you will be inspired to avoid certain situations ahead of time and also as they may come up in your life. So do you need guns? Well, that's your choice. We're not telling you never to own a gun. That's your choice. If you feel that the answer, the solution you get from source energy is to own a gun, then own a gun. but if you feel that there's another answer that's being given to you to avoid certain precarious situations in your life, to mitigate the fear that's coming into your life, then do that. There's not just one solution. It's all based on your particular situation, basically based on your environment and a way to avoid trouble in your environment. Well, is owning a gun probably the best way to avoid fear? It just depends. It really depends on the situation. It depends on you. It depends on your ability to use a firearm. It depends on your ability to use it and not have immediate fear of in the situation where you can handle the situation from a mature and also a place of strength in that weakness. So it really is up to you. We're not telling you not to do it. We're telling you it really depends on you in your situation. It's knowing yourself, knowing your nature. Do you have the moral and do you have the internal strength and makeup to be able to handle yourself in that situation using that particular means? Or are you going to ask source energy for another way out, another way to escape that precarious situation if they were to occur into your life? We wanted to leave you with that because there is no easy answer. There is no one answer for every individual. And there is no answer on whether you should own a firearm or not own a firearm. That's really up to your choice. It really is up to you. Spirit can't tell you not to. But all we can do is advise you that if you're going to use something like that or have something that you feel is going to mitigate the fear in your life, make sure you know how to use it. Make sure you know how that your emotional makeup that you can handle stressful situations like that and be able to react in a way that actually end the situation for your survival. Let's put it that way. It was as simple as that. So it's up to you. You have to know yourself. Know yourself, your internal makeup, your stress levels, your ability to deal with crisis and come through crisis confident. Okay? That's our take on the subject. You may not agree with us. You may think we're wrong on one side or the other. But Spirit wants you to make the choices yourself and find ways of finding a way to mitigate your particular fear. Your ancestors used clubs. Your ancestors would hide. Your ancestors learned how to throw rocks and slingshots and all kinds of things to avoid certain precarious situations. You've advanced. You don't use slingshots. You don't throw rocks. You don't use big clubs. So you found a different way to protect yourself. And you still run. You still rely on source for an answer that applies to your particular situation. So that's the emphasis really for you, from us, from Spirit, is know yourself. Ask Source for a way out, that something that will serve you as an individual and as family and as a group to protect yourself and to mitigate your fear, and pay attention to the answers that you get because they can vary from individual and from group to group. So thank you for listening. We love you. We want love to be the dominant energy. But in a world full of fear, sometimes it takes a lot of love, a lot of emphasis on love, and a lot of emphasis on the growth of love. And George is writing about this. So when he's ready, he'll prepare the information that we're giving him about creating a different society based on love. So thank you for listening. Bye. Pretty interesting. I didn't expect them to go there, and I'll probably forget what they said. But that's a really interesting statement. I thought they would come a whole different direction about this subject with guns and violence and all that sort of thing. And they basically said it's up to you. It's between you and your connection with God or Source or whatever you call it. And then look for divine guidance on how to protect yourself and how to mitigate fear in your life. I don't know if you agree with me or not agree with me, but that's what Spirit had to say. It wasn't me. I was going off a whole different tangent. And, you know, so, okay, interesting. Very fascinating. So let me get into some articles. We've been talking about compassion. We've been talking about love, talking about peace, maintaining peace in your life. And what was I going to do? Read an article or two, and then kind of I was going to wait for your calls, see if you have a thought on this subject. You know, a lot of political shows will call in and see what your opinion is. But whatever your opinion is on this subject, do it from love. Do it from peace. Do it in a way that you think, well, I might just be different than the next person. Their solution, their God-given solution is different than my God-given solution for this topic. Think about that. Okay, what am I going to talk about? Connecting with your peaceful self to overcome fears and worries. This is from tinybuddha.com. I like tinybuddha.com. It's an article. I'll read it to you. I'll stop and I'll check and see if you want to talk to me, if you want to hear from your ancestors on this topic or on any topic. I'm always open to whatever you want to ask your ancestors about or my spirit guides about. You know, I do these topics, I do these subjects because I got 45 minutes to cover. You know, I just don't always get the calls. And so I want to have something that's interesting and provocative at some level, but also spirit-based. Love-based, kindness-based, compassion-based, fear evidence appearing real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. It says unknown, but I think the Bible has something to say about that. If I remember the scripture, it really has basically the same thing, that fear sometimes is something that we fear, something that may or may not ever happen because, well, for whatever reason, right? Okay, the article is by Adita Attack, Attack, A-T-T-E-C-K, okay, interesting name. It was an ordinary school morning in a busy European city. I seem to recall it was spring as my memories store the feeling of awakening after a long winter. I was 17 and getting ready to go to school, following my standard morning routine, which is eating. Okay. So I'm going to continue. I'm going to skip some of this because we want to get to the main point about what happens to her and this whole thing about peaceful and entering into this very peaceful state. She goes on a tramp. The city transport experienced some chaos that morning, and a typical short time wait between trams turned into almost a half an hour. My tram station was really crowded, and I was lucky to get in. It seemed to be a very busy day, unusually busy day, and because of the delay, every tram stop had a huge crowd waiting at the platform. After five or six stops, the tram was packed like a can of sardines. I watched people at the stops, nervously looking toward at the lucky ones inside as they contemplated how late they would be to school or work today. I really wish this ride would be over, she's saying. The tram started moving towards the downtown area. It was a quite steep hill downward into the valley. The stretch of the ride was the most fascinating to me as the green area framing my view just zoomed by a whole lane painted by massive paintbrush, as if a whole lane painted by paintbrush. I felt lucky to be by the window and having breathing space in front of me instead of being squeezed in the middle of the crowd. The green space, however, moved incredibly fast this morning, and it was just like flying by. And then I registered a sudden jolt. After that, it was very quiet. In the middle of the silence, all of a sudden, I heard a loud voice asking for help. It sounded quite frightened as it repeatedly asked, "Please help." Who is saying this? I wondered. If you ever experienced no connection to the concept of time, that was it. After I heard the same voice a few more times, I came to surprising realization it was mine. The voice was coming from my body, yet I felt I was completely a peaceful self. Anybody's ever been to that? Have been to a situation where there's a lot of catastrophe around you, and all of a sudden you go into a peaceful state? It's like you detach from the situation. It's like your higher self. And let me read through this, but it's you know, what I got from this impression was it's like the higher self, the soul, is bringing you into a very calm state while there's chaos around you. Later on, you realize the tram derailed and flipped sideways. I was saved and physically unharmed because I was lucky on the lucky side of the tram. I continued the journey called self, but something locked inside me. In fact, I was haunted for years by the experience of my peaceful self. And what I get from this article, and it's really interesting, and I'll mention that in a moment. Nevertheless, to say, I continued to live my life for a few decades, very often identified with my scared physical self, but always wondering about that peaceful self. Who am I really? Who is that part of me that heard my voice? Now, the answer I would give her, if she was asking me, would be her soul, or higher self. Her higher self went into peace, went into a peaceful mode. And anybody ever faced that before? I remember when I was sick once, I had the flu, and it was really bad, and I was really sick. I'd been sick for days, and I didn't have a lot of money at the time, and I was living, well, by myself, but I knew all my neighbors really well. And I was in bed, and I was really, I was like, and all of a sudden, the peaceful moment feeling came over me. It was like, okay, I could live or die, and it didn't matter, because I was at peace. Even though I was really, really sick, I should have been at the doctor, and they probably might have even put me in the hospital. But I felt this peaceful energy within me. My higher self, my soul, was bringing about that peaceful energy. Now, how does that relate to our topic today? Well, it's seeking out that peace. The spirit said, spirit was talking about, it's connecting with your higher self, your soul, connecting with source energy, asking for peace. Asking for a way to emotionally deal with those situations. But it's also getting in the habit of being in that place. Okay, I'm not going to go through the rest of the article because she talks a little bit more about getting into that space, getting into that peaceful self. And how do you do that? Through meditation. Oh, I was going to talk about meditation a little bit more too, wasn't I? That was part of the show. It was going to be about the I Am meditation based on the loving awareness, well, loving kindness meditation. So I want you to do this with me, and it's based on your chakras. So we'll do that. And that's where I kind of wanted to go with the show and for the last few minutes. And I want you to, if you can write this down, you can use this on your own at some point. But it's a loving kindness meditation, but it's about your chakras. So if you get into a quiet space, and I want you to focus on each chakra as I go through it. And I'm going to give you some words to focus on for each particular chakra. If you're familiar with the chakras, you have the base chakra, the sacral and the solar plexus chakra, the heart chakra, the throat chakra, the third eye chakra, and the crown chakra. And I'm not going to get into a whole definition of chakras because that will take the rest of the show. But I want you to focus on this. And if you need to look up chakras on your own and how to activate them, please do. But I want you to take a moment, if you're not driving, and just kind of focus on your base chakra. Put your energy there. Put your thoughts there. And your base chakra would be right at your tailbone area. Okay? This is the... And as you focus on that particular area of your body, here's the words that you can repeat for yourself. I am safe from inner and outer dangers. I am safe from inner and outer dangers. So as you focus on that base chakra, use those words. I am safe from inner and outer dangers. Now you're going to move to your second chakra, which is just your abdomen area. This is considered your creative chakra, your sexual chakra, but we'll think of it in terms of creativity for a moment. So put your attention there for a moment and just use the words and say the words, I am a co-creator with the universe. Put your energy there for a moment. I am a co-creator with the universe. The third chakra is really kind of your emotional base, and it's your solar plexus region. But for this discussion and for these words, I want you to use the words and you focus on that area of your body. I am healthy in mind, body, and spirit. And just repeat that. I am healthy in mind, body, and spirit. The next chakra is your heart chakra, the region around your heart area. And repeat the words, I am filled with love. You can repeat that a couple times and focus on that area of the body, the heart area. I am filled with love. I am filled with love. And the next area would be your throat region, the throat chakra. And as you focus on that particular area of your body, repeat the words, I am speaking my truth. I am speaking my truth. The next area, the next chakra is the brow, the third eye region. And you want to focus on the thoughts of, and just put your attention there for a moment, I am connected to universal wisdom. I am connected to universal wisdom. And then the last chakra, the top chakra, is on the crown of your head, and I am filled with loving kindness. I am filled with loving kindness. Now, to finish this meditation and this idea, and if you want to repeat this on your own, visualize a soft auric field around you, a glowing, beautiful auric field full of all kinds of colors, magnificent auric field that is, it goes out from your body. This energy field around you, and visualize it however you visualize it. And as you visualize this for auric field, there's a couple things I want you to say. First of all, I am prosperous. I am prosperous. I am prosperous. As you visualize this field around you and this surrounds your whole body, I want to visualize this particular energy that's surrounding you as part of your auric field. This energy is, I am happy, comfortable, and at peace. I am happy, comfortable, and at peace. And if you're interested in contacting me, and you can do this meditation, and I actually will write it out if you want to, and if you want to email me, I can give you this meditation and according to each particular chakra. And if you want to do that, use this meditation, just helps you to connect with your chakras, but also connects with the energy of those chakras and how they relate to your particular connecting with spirit and those emotions like loving kindness, love, peace, health, safety, creation, wisdom, and speaking your truth. And if you could use this meditation over and over again, or something very similar meditation, which is based on a loving kindness meditation, you can believe in or create a belief system based around that. Yes, you are in these energies, and these energies are part of you, and this belief is part of you, that the belief that you're filled with loving kindness, that you're filled with love, that you are prosperous, that you're safe, that you are healthy, that you are happy, comfortable, and at peace, that you are a co-creator, that you are connected to universal wisdom, and that you have the capacity and the ability always to speak your truth. So I wanted to share that with you. I've been reworking this loving kindness meditation, if you want to look up that, to tie it into your chakras, tie it into your energy field, so that your energy field is connected to your higher self, to your soul, to source energy. Okay, I've had fun today. It's been a different show, and I will be back on Friday. Again, if you want to get a message or guidance from my spirit guides, the spirit group, it's not mine. Sarah works for lots of people. The group works with lots of people. They're not just my spirit group. And if you want to get a message from them, a guidance in your life of what you're creating, what the universe has for you, but also how to get there, contact me through Facebook, through my email address, through the messenger.info or my phone number. And there's a price listed in the episode information. And I'd love to have them communicate with you and help you. So I love you guys. Have a beautiful rest of your day. It's been fun, and we'll talk again on Friday. Bye now.